Edouard Manet, whose name is so similar to that of his friend Claude Monet, can be differentiated by the fact that he came first. The older and more experienced artist, his last name containing an A, can be differentiated from his younger friend's name Monet, containing a later letter in the alphabet O. If one remembers that A comes before O, the names of Manet and Monet can be kept straight. However, while these two artists were friends, one look at their art makes it clear that they are not similar artists in any regard. Edouard Manet may be now sometimes called a pre-impressionist, but while he was friends with the young rising impressionists, he never identified with the impressionist name. Manet believed his fight was with the Academy, and he always said he needed to fight on the Academy's own battleground, the Salon. For this reason, he never exhibited with his impressionist friends, even though he was invited to do so. Manet wanted to be an Academy painter and did not agree with the Academy's judgment that he was never going to be of the mind metal that the Academy should have. He wanted to change the Academy from the inside and help it shake off its old-fashioned and self-indulgent standards. He agreed with Baudelaire's call to embrace the age they lived in and portray life as it was lived. He was a contemporary of Courbet and agreed with what he was trying to do as well. Manet was unaccepted by the Academy mostly because of his color patch painting technique. Almost completely flat paintings, with very little transition between colors, as well as his flat-out refusal to indulge in historical narrative or allegory. This rendered his painting scandalous and confusing, because of the lack of historical stories or allegorical values. The Absinthe Drinker by Manet was rejected from the Salon, even though Delacroix liked it, because of its patchy color, its visible brushstrokes, and the awkward anatomy used in the painting. But most of all, it was rejected because it took the honor of the full-length portrait and bestowed it on a man who was of the lowest of the low, a drinker of absinthe. Alone and inebriated, and just in case you didn't figure it out from his bleary gaze, the bottle reinforces the man's state. Drinkers of absinthe were inveterate substance abuse sufferers. Having run through other self-harming vices, absinthe drinkers, by the harsh nature of their intoxicant of choice, were soon to die from the ravages of their poison. For Manet to paint an absinthe drinker with a full-length portrait, it was akin to creating a photo shoot for a 21st century street person with a long history of substance abuse. Not a common practice, and not a subject the viewers of art wanted to be reminded of. Luncheon on the Grass was exhibited in the same year as Cabanel's Birth of Venus, but this painting was not received with the admiration of Cabanel's. Here, the woman is considered ugly and flat, a naked French woman, unflattered and unidealized. This woman is looking at the viewer, fully aware of the state of her undress, and is in full control of it. This woman, in charge of her own sexuality, is not nude, she is naked. The viewers at the Salon du Refusé, the exhibition of refused art, were aghast. Her nakedness, combined with modern dress of the clothed men, was met with scandalized scorn. Manet was actually practicing an age-old Academy device, taking the compositions of very old and famous paintings and bringing them forward to the present time with modern dress and new painting techniques. In this case, he was taking the concept of muses in Titian's The Pastoral Concert of the early 1500s and combining it with compositional elements from a print of Raphael's The Judgment of Paris from the same time period. Manet was tackling Baudelaire's advice to portray his own era while paying homage to the old masters. While the Academy would have been very aware of what he was doing, they didn't like it, so they simply didn't get it. They felt that his paintings were not beautiful. They were simply regular French people reenacting old paintings, and they found it distasteful. It's a good thing the French Academy members of the mid-1850s aren't around to see the 21st century pandemic's obsession with recreating old paintings, with only the hoarded supplies that a person has on hand and then taking a photograph. If Manet's recreation of old paintings with modern people was unsavory, they'd find toilet paper tube fashion and cats in place of babies to be downright insulting. Manet's complaint, "They are raining insults upon me," to his friend Charles Baudelaire, pointed to the overwhelming negative response to his painting Olympia received from critics in 1865. Baudelaire, art critic and poet, had advocated for an art that could capture the gait, glance, and gesture of modern life. And although Manet's painting had perhaps done just that, its debut at the Salon only served to bewilder and scandalize the Parisian public. Olympia features a nude woman reclining on a chaise lounge with a small black cat at her feet and a black female servant behind her brandishing a bouquet of flowers. It struck viewers who flocked to see the painting as a great insult to the academic tradition, and of course it was. One could say that the artist had thrown down a gauntlet. The subject was modern, maybe too modern, since it failed to properly elevate the woman's nakedness to the lofty ideals of nudity found in art of antiquity. She was no goddess or mythological feature. As the art historian Eunice Lipton describes it, Manet had robbed the art historical genre of nudes of their mythological scaffolding. 19th century French salon painting, something also called academic painting, the art advocated by the Royal Academy, was supposed to perpetually return to the classical moment, to retrieve and reinvent its forms and ideals, making them relevant for the present moment. In using a contemporary subject and not a Venus, Manet mocked that tradition and, moreover, dared to suggest that the classical past held no relevance to the modern industrial present. As if to underscore his rejection of the past, Manet used as his source a well-known painting in the collection of the Louvre, Venus of Urbino, a 1538 painting by the Venetian Renaissance painter Titian, and he then stripped it of meaning. To an eye trained in the classical style, Olympia has no clear respectful homage to Titian's masterpiece. The artist offered instead an impoverished copy. In place of the seamlessly contoured, voluptuous figure of Venus, set within a richly atmospheric and imaginary world, Olympia was flatly painted, poorly contoured, lacking depth, and seemed to inhabit the seamy, contemporary world of Parisian prostitution. Why, critics asked, was the figure so flat and washed out and the background so dark? Why had the artist abandoned the centuries-old practice of leading the eye towards an imagined vanishing point that would establish a fiction, a believable space for the figures to inhabit? For Manet's artistic contemporaries, however, the loose fluid brushstrokes and the seemingly rapid execution was much more than a hoax. In one stroke, the artist had solved the classical illusionism and reinvented painting as something that spoke to its own condition of being painted representation.